Hi everyone, and warmly welcome to Mitt Liv podcast on inclusive labor market. Here you will meet with our super special guests in a relaxed conversation about values and leadership, diversity and inclusion. So the purpose of this interview series is for you to get the chance to listen to the most value-driven CEOs and understand more of their view of D&I. And this podcast is the 100% about walking the talk and for you who listen to be inspired on your D&I journey. And for you who doesn't know much about us or nothing at all, we have been around with Mitt Liv since I founded it 2008. So it's over 50 years now. And our vision is to work for an inclusive society and a labor market that values diversity. And if you want to learn more about us and what we do, you can check out our homepage, mittliv.com. The most important today, we have the big honor to have a true role model joining us for this conversation. It's a person who knows a lot about great leadership. Warm welcome, dear Christophe Catoire, CEO for Adecco Group. So first of all, how are you today? What feeling did you wake up with?
Hi, Sophia. Thank you to welcome me and thank you for your nice words. I would say I feel so good. First, fair to say, I'm coming back from holidays and, you know, each leader, each employee should take time for himself in order to give the best of himself for his colleagues after. Second, I'm coming back from a long visit in our geographies in APAC, five countries, and meeting people means a lot in terms of collecting the energies from others. So I would say I feel good today.
That's wonderful to hear. And you travel a lot, I learned. But also, I'm always curious because as a leader, you always need to step up and take lead and lead by example. So is there any room, any time for you to have a bad day? Or how do you rewire the brain waking up not feeling so good? Because I think that can happen even to the best.
Yeah, you know, we are all human. So you wake up, you don't know, but sometimes mood is okay, sometimes mood is less okay. My magic recipe for that is to call my colleagues each time I need to collect energy. You know, it's we are in the people industry. It means that people are really benevolent with others. And when you capture this energy coming from people waking up with a full of energy like myself today, it's a good recipe to reset and to give probably the best of yourself. That's one of the recipe I can use for that. But for sure, we are all human.
Yeah, we are. But that sounds like a good tip. But can you, I'm very curious about the big milestones in your life that brought you all the way to the role of CEO at Adecco Group. Are there specific moments that you think has meant a lot for you to come to your current role?
You know, first, being CEO was not an ambition. I'm there today. I try to do my best for sure. But when I try to define how I was able to get this position, I would say three things were really important for me. First, education. By education, I've learned so much about first working hands. We used to say in my country, north of France, you have the doer and the storyteller. And I've learned to be working hands and to have the opportunity to do things. Humility is another education I have received. Be humble, do your best, and people will also support you and sometimes elect you for more responsibility. I've learned a lot also from sport. I was number nine in a team, and it means that you can't goal if you don't have the support of all the team. It means team play is part of my education also. Yeah. And on top of that, I need to say I'm a competitive guy. I want to win. So good or bad, I don't know. But in a team play, the team would like to win for sure the race at the end of the day. And last topic, coming from my previous boss, I think the best advice I have received is be yourself. Sincerity pays off. Vulnerability is not a weakness. It's a good way to say to people, nobody's perfect, please help me. And the second advice I have received is dream big. Oh. When you are ambitious, you know, people want to deliver their best, and it's impressive how you can push the border of your own limit and the reality you don't have the limit you imagine. So some few things to explain my past. I am a lucky guy. I had a good environment to learn fast, and today the goal is to do the best of what I can.
And that's lovely to hear, because it sounds now like you want to pass it forward, keep the circle going for what you had in life. You want to bring it back. That's nice leadership. But how do you, how would you say D&I would be linked to your choices and path?
It's probably the reason why I'm still in the same company as 30 years ago. You have understood 30 years ago. Yeah. When I've been joining this company, it was for an internship. And fair to say, I didn't know anything about staffing industry. So it was, I would say, by luck. But my surprise was when visiting our branches in some rural areas in north of France, I was really surprised, because I've learned later that the industry didn't have a good reputation because flexibility was like precarity, not flexibility as we can imagine today. And at the same time, when visiting the branches, I've seen so many people fully engaged to find a job to people. And those people, believe me, the level of employability sometimes was very low, no diploma, no qualification, and it was vital to find a job. And I say, it's not fair. And I have started my career path in this company seeing such a big heart of people to find, to do their best in order to help the others. And after I had some role model in this company, like one, his name is Jean-François Quenon, they have also learned how you can create business model to make it, I would say, long-term and not only short-term initiative. And I need to say, for me, belonging to this company after 30 years means a lot, because it means that you have the feeling you can create a true impact, but you can also, that was your message before, you can help all of your colleagues, these 26,000 working for Adecco brand, to do their best in order to create a positive impact around them. So it's like a red scene in my career path, but also in my engagement.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I mean, so much at our workplaces is linked to our personal values. Do you have one personal value that comes back to you in both good and bad times that you feel is the most important or a key driver for you in certain decisions or taking the next steps?
Yes, for sure. If I may, I would have spontaneously two values I have in my mind. The first one, I've already been talking about this one, is humility. Especially when you work in employment, you need to have the humility not to only assess the people you will see as candidates, but to help and support them in order to find their way, their orientation, and after to define the way to optimize their employability. It's the same for our colleagues. You know, it's not good to be an arrogant CEO.
No.
You need to be a servant leader. It's a strong belief I have from my education, but also from my career path. The second value is what I call warm heart. I strongly believe in the power of emotion. You know, sometimes we try to demonstrate the beauty of a business model based on rationals. We need, that's clear. But you know what? People react sometimes better with their heart, and not only with their brain. And I really think when you create a lot of warm relationship around you, you create like a safe space in order to let people being themselves. I come back to this one. So warm heart is the second value I advocate, and I try to be also not role model, but trying to adopt that for myself also.
That's beautiful, because I think talking about the digitalization, AI, and all those things that will automatize everything that is makes us human. I think, I mean, what makes us human are our emotions and connection to what makes us personal and unique and so on. So I'm happy to hear that when everyone is going in the robot direction.
But, and believe me, Sophia, digital is everywhere in all the industries and also the employment industry, clearly. But nevertheless, you need the chemical part of what we call recruitment. Human relationship is part of this chemical meeting you have. That's why it's always a question of complementary or enablement and more than replacement. Important to say, especially when we talk so much about AI, ChatGPT, those things are important, but it's not all, it's part of.
Yeah, and there are so many buzzwords in this field, and we've seen a lot over the past 15 years in Mittliv. Behind all the good words, it is about real people and real dreams and hopes. And when we met at Swiss Chamber of Commerce, I could feel you really, really care about those topics and stand up for those values, embracing equality. And have you ever met challenges internally when talking and living your values? And because we know there are no sayers around those topics for different reasons, and it can create a lot of tension, but how do you tackle those as a leader?
First of all, yes, I used to face some challenges talking about values, because believe me, the agenda is always a combination of long term and short term. Mm-hmm. So when short term is under control, it's okay. People appreciate, I would say, the intention. After you need to demonstrate you will do. But nevertheless, it's easy to support that. Mm. When short-term is challenged by, I would say, some underperformance, low cycle, whatever, it puts more pressure on your values. But here, it's probably the best timing in order to always repeat that performance is only the consequence of the engagement of people, their commitment to deliver their best.
Yeah.
And to deliver their best, if the values are the one you have created and you respect the culture of your company, people feel really safe in this environment, but they feel also energized. Mm. And as a consequence, they do their best. And as a consequence, your performance is coming back. So that's why each time you face with such difficulties, it's always important to repeat that performance, especially financial performance, is a consequence of what you people will do, will deliver, will commit.
Mm. And when coming then to maybe one of the most challenging topics for a company, it is about setting like KPIs, how to know we make progress within D&I. Do you at Adecco have specific goals, and what are those, if so?
It's a very good point, because you need to measure your ability to improve your organization, your company, your impact, both for what I call D&I initiative, like you would do with, I would say, economic initiative. Mm-hmm. And if I take the example of what we are looking for on the Adecco side, as a responsible employer, we have defined some goals to achieve. One is, and I will come back on that because this one is global, is we want to put at work more than 50,000 refugees in 3 years.
Wow.
It's an important commitment, because when you are looking for candidates and you try to deliver the right matching with what is expected by a company, lots of companies, and look at the job ad, ask for 3 to 10 years of experience, the right diploma, the right qualification. And we strongly believe in the power of people you will help, because they will give back much more than what you have provided to them. So that's the first one. The second one, it's what we consider as the first level or layer of the Maslow pyramid. You need to make sure, as a responsible employer, that you will put your people in a safe and secure environment in order to deliver the best of themselves. It means that safety at work, and it could be mental health or just not to be injured, is a second commitment with some goals to achieve everywhere in the world. After, fair to say, country by country, you can have another agenda because some things can't be only global.
No.
But measurement is key. It's important. And you need to celebrate the successes you have both in economic, but also in D&I performance. Because if you don't do that, you give the feeling that it's a nice to have initiative. It's not nice to have. It's part of the recipe.
Yeah. And also, in between this very bold and big ambitious goal and the reality in specific all specific countries, what would you say need to happen in between?
You know, and it's probably one of the learning I've received, which has been the most instrumental one in my ability to speak more, to voice up, and also to try to elaborate a more ambitious agenda. It's you need, when you have a nice intention and you have big dream, remember, dream big, and you want to make it a reality for the long term and not only the short term, you need to define what the business model you will create. And it's important. And it's not easy when you start in your career path to mix social or D&I impact with economic performance. It seems to be completely different agenda. The reality, it's one single agenda. And it's an important topic, because if you create a business model, you will demonstrate the beauty of doing that for people, for society, but also for your company. If I take the example of the refugees, it's a very good example. When you put at work 50,000 refugees, it's good for society, especially because we know that those people didn't decide to be refugees. They were obliged to leave their country for, I would say, awful situation, and sometimes being hurt, losing their family, losing part of the members of their friend or whatever, or their community. And so you would say it's important to help them. That's fair to say. But at the same time, you know, like me, that we have a lot of scarcity in employment market. If you are able to give a confidence to those people in order to integrate the employment market, you create an additional sourcing. And by the way, when you measure the efficiency and the productivity of those people, to start, it's lower because they need to learn. But when they have acquired the learning, they are twice more loyal. They are twice less injured or even impacted by absenteeism. So for a company, it's also good to help refugees to be included. And that's why here, I would say, when you combine, you create an appetite to do that for the long term. And it's not only like a nice to have initiative, to come back to this wording.
And I'm thinking of, it is a win. I need to say this four times now, win, 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 win. So for society, for businesses, for the individual that gets employment, but also for the circle around the person who gets a job. Suddenly there's a local role model and the family looks on someone who suddenly go to work, come back happy and feel have the sense of contribution and so on. So it's like four win, not only win, win, win.
Yeah, it creates currency even when you have to manage 6,000 branches in the world. I was in Brisbane last week. If you have to demonstrate that refugee inclusion is an important topic, you explain to those guys that based on the scarcity they have to face in this country, like in all the countries today, it's a good way to source candidate. In terms of commitment of the candidate, it's better. In terms of delighting your client, it's good. And by the way, when you come back at home, you can say to your children, you know what, I've helped some people and I'm proud about doing that job. So, you know, we need to explain that and we need to take time in order to define what the business model behind. It's really a strong belief and I needed 20 years to learn that. So that's why now I want also to pass the message.
That's your humble side, the one of your values. And I also think that, I mean, make people start doing things with your left hand if you're right-handed, that's a hard thing. So we all know how to, not all, but we are more who knows how to talk about this than actually doing the hard work by walking. And it means changing some behaviors to get new results, right? And what behaviors do you think is crucial to change to become an inclusive leader, a behavior that we all need to practice?
I think, again, based on my experience, to become an inclusive leader, you need to be a strong learner. It means you need to be curious, open-minded, to learn from others. The reality, many, many people are learning at the same time. They are trying, failing or succeeding, whatever, but by the way, learning. And I'm a strong believer on that. I was talking about 20 years was needed, required for me to understand one very simple thing, because it was, I would say, not only like a concept. I've seen the proof of this concept managed by a team, walk the talk, as we say.
Yeah.
And I would say it's one. The second one is to be ambitious.
Yeah.
You know, comfort zone, do like before. It's easier to recruit somebody with 10 years of experience and the right diploma and qualification, no risk. But you can challenge your client also, provided you have a good reason why challenging your client. Mm. So being ambitious is also very important. And to do that, you need to know what you mean. So you need to have your own learning curve. It's not a problem. It's the first day you don't know.
Mm.
Be, I would say, in a team with some expertise there. And after you will leverage the expertise of the team and you will become a strong, inclusive leader because you have learned from others.
Yeah.
And perhaps the last learning from my side, in France, when I was leading France, we have created an academy for inclusion, for inclusive leader.
Mm-hmm.
And we have created that with the Ministry of Labor. But you know what? The content was only, sorry to say only, to gather 15 CEO managers in the same room and to have two people explaining their learnings, their experience. And it was 2 days of interactive session to say, we don't want to give you any lesson. We just want to share with you, and probably you will feel what makes sense for you, what you want to choose as a good benchmark for your own company. I really think it's part of the best way to understand, integrate, and after to deploy what we have learned.
Mm. So we all have blind spots, right?
Yes,
or
sure.
Or do we? Would you like to share any of your blind spots that you noticed?
Yes, I have one, and it's like an ongoing agenda after 30 years. So, you know,
of course.
we need to have, as you say, this humility not to be perfect. And hopefully, if you want to continue to be a strong learner, you need to consider you are nobody's perfect. It's better to start with this assumption. No, I would say in ESG, we are doing very well, I think, in social. I think we should do more and better in E, environment.
Mm. Yeah.
So, fair to say that to start, when you are a staffing company, you could have the feeling that your impact on environment is not so important as the one of an industry, whatever the industry.
Mm.
Nevertheless, when you deep dive and you are also challenged by your own team, you understand that today one of the big contributions we could have or we should have is to create the skill set in order to create, for example, the new energies. If you go from the traditional energies to electrical one, to hydrogen one, it means you need to create a skill set. Who should do that?
Mm.
We are in first line of being the contributor for those new skill sets.
Mm.
So we just have started a journey, especially in hydrogen, to create school with some strong operators, because we are not a specialist, but we know how to do engineering in terms of training. So we start to build those skills and to also fulfill the gap between the skills required by these new energy players and the one provided by the primary education.
Yeah.
So it's like a blind spot. It's like an awareness also coming from the employees.
Mm.
And I think it's fair to say that each time you keep open-minded, you find some new territories where your impact could be higher. So I share this experience because in a very humble way, it's ongoing. We start the journey and we still have a lot to do.
And I think the more you learn, the more you understand how little you know, right?
Sure.
Yeah. And I'm curious, like in 10 years, we talk about megatrends, the big forces that impact our societies, our businesses, and us as leaders and organizations, either we want it or not. And it's the migration, demographic changes, like the globalization and all those things. And what do you think what megatrends do you think will impact Adecco the most in a certain direction? And also, what do you think will happen with the companies that does not take the S in ESG as seriously as you do?
I will take your previous question as a segue, because
Yeah.
there is a big link. I think the most important challenge we have to face with, and when I say we is all of us as company and society, is the acceleration in the transformation of skills. I never have seen such an evolution in terms of skill map, whatever the industry and the company. And let's be aware, AI is not a buzzword. It's a huge, huge trend in terms of impact for the skill set. So for the good, if we are well prepared, or for the bad, if we are not well prepared. What does it mean as a consequence? It means that the old world of employment, which was based on, I try to duplicate the clones, is off. But believe me, when you know that less than 15% of the managers have been once in their life trained in order to recruit people, you understand that level of education to recruit potentials, motivations, appetite to learn instead of a label, today we are not prepared. And the company who are not prepared to define how they will play the motivation and the potential instead of the previous world being focused on the clones, those companies will lose a competitive advantage. They will have a competitive disadvantage. So it's good for society as a whole, because it means everyone has a chance to find a job, provided we understand what's their motivation. What's their potential? And you know, when I ask the question to any person, do you think that one of your children has no potential? You know, as parents, no parent could say one of my child has no chance to find a job or to be successful, for sure.
No.
Not the same as his brother or his sister. But at the end of the day, it means that it's good for the society, provided you are well prepared. That's the biggest challenge I see in front of us. And AI will continue to accelerate the trend.
And also, we do this podcast because we want to highlight role models. And what would you, this is last but not least question, Christoph, but if you would choose number one most important action to pass on to other organizations, and specifically CEOs that wants to start their journey, what would you say that would be?
Without any doubt, I would say build your D&I policy based on business models. I needed 20 years to learn that. If CEO and leaders can learn faster than me, I think it's great, because you can create a very consistent platform for the future. What do I mean? As leaders, we need to make sure that when we will leave the company, the organization, or even the employment market, what we have built should be consistent for the long term. If you have a very strong and profitable and sustainable business model, you know what? It's not a nice to have initiative from the previous CEO. It will appear like the magic recipe in order to create a positive impact as a company, both on the P&L side, but also on the society side. So that would be the best of the advice I could share.
I love it. Thank you so much, Christoph. You are a true role model, and keep shining. We need more leaders in the world like you, who showed us other the way, and so we can make this a little better place for more. And for all of you who are curious or want to find more inspiration on how D&I take place and matters in the top management, you can find more interviews in this podcast with cool, amazing leaders who stand up for and lead D&I even when no one sees. So wish you a lovely day, and thank you again, Christoph, for joining this conversation.
Thank you, Sophia, and I wish the best journey for all of our audience in this D&I journey.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.